May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I've been spending a lot of time the last couple of weeks in Ephesians chapter 6, just by direction of the Holy Spirit. And when I spend time, there are those moments when the Lord leads me to serious study, but it's usually just devotional things that God speaks to me. In Ephesians chapter 6, especially the part of the armor of God, which maybe we'll end up doing at some point on Sundays for CTKers, has been a place I've kind of avoided over the years because on the surface it didn't all make sense, and so it represented a little bit too much work. But just in being driven by the Spirit of God to spend time in the Scripture, there are just some things that are emerging that minister to me. So I wanted to share just some little something today that I think will bless you too. And again, not even looking at all the stuff that's in there, just a couple of things I want you to see. It says in verse 10, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers, against world forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth." And then he goes on and on and on. There's a few simple things that I think are helpful, that would be helpful for you today. And one is this. He says in verse 12 about putting on the armor of God, not any kind of armor in terms of human willpower or human intellect or human knowledge, because he says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers and against the world forces of this darkness and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Now, when he says flesh and blood, Paul doesn't just speak of human beings. And we will usually quote this verse if we're having problems with some person. And we're reminded our battle is not against flesh and blood, it's against demonic things. But he's not just talking about people. He's just talking about the things of the natural. Of course, it can involve people and their behavior and their actions, but it could just be the things of this world. Flesh and blood are the things of the natural world. And so what he's saying to, what the Holy Spirit is saying to us is that the real battle doesn't have anything to do really with human behavior or circumstances in the natural. The warfare is what goes on spiritually that's invoked or provoked by somebody's actions or activity or provoked by the circumstances around you. In other words, it's not the situation, it's not the person, it's our heart's response and our behavioral reaction to what's going on around us. That's the real battle. That's where you win or lose. We don't win or lose based on what somebody does to us. We don't win or lose based on what's going on around us. We win or lose if we give in to fear, if we give in to anger, if we give in to resentment, if we give in to pride, if we give in to lust, if we give in to greed, yada, 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 bitterness, all those kind of things. And then he says this. He says, "Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." So I was just asking the Lord this morning, I said, "Lord, can you be more specific about the schemes of the devil?" And he says, "Well, make it personal, Chuck. What has worked in the past with you? Is it when somebody ignores you or somebody hurts your feelings or somebody does this? Or is it when the money didn't come in? Or is it that circumstances or somebody disappoints you?" He says, "Those are the schemes of the devil for you. They've always worked in the past. There's no sense in him trying something new when the old stuff keeps working." Well, that kind of helps you because he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, he says, "Let us not be ignorant of the schemes of the devil." And I'll tell you, if you ask the Holy Spirit, show me what has worked in the past, where I've lost the spiritual battle in the past. And he'll show you. This is where you usually fall into depression because of this. This is when you fall into anger or resentment. This is when you fall into criticalness or whatever. This is when you fall into lust or whatever. That's important to know. But then he says this. The very first part of this armor, there are six parts, and he says, put it on. You already got it. It's yours. It's the armor of God, so it's supernatural. And the very first one, which is the key to all of them, is the belt of truth. You know, in that day, they all wore these long robes, and when it was time to do battle, They couldn't do much warfare. They couldn't swing their sword or yield their shield with their hands if they're constantly trying to pull up their gowns like we do when we're walking up these steps and this stuff. And so you wear this belt so you can gather up all your stuff so your legs are free, so you're now ready to do battle. And this is the first one. It doesn't matter what else you have, breastplate, helmet, sword, you know, shield, feet adorned. If you don't have all that stuff gathered up, you're not ready for battle. You're going to stumble and fall. The interesting thing about this, when he talks about truth, he later talks about the sword, which is the word of God. They're not the same thing. And I think there's a particular truth that Paul, of all people, would know when he wrote this. And here's the truth. Here's the beginning, the foundational thing you have to do to be able to do battle. You have to know the truth of this. I was thinking about the fact that if in a real war in their day, if there was a soldier getting dressed for battle, what are some things he would need to know, some truths, simple truths, to be able to go out in confidence, to be able to yield a sword of the word, a shield of faith, or all those things? What are some things he'd need to know? What if he knew this? What if he knew that the enemy he's about to face has already been totally defeated? And he's simply trying to come and get you off victory. It's already been won. He's already been defeated. It's already been proven that he's a loser and he's been defeated. That would give you some confidence. And then secondly, as a warrior, if you knew that you were a better soldier, stronger soldier, more powerful soldier, better equipped soldier, that would also give you real confidence. Well, he says here, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. So when he says the belt of truth, where everything else is built on, is us knowing this. One, he's been defeated. Paul says that in Colossians. We don't have time to look at the verse when he said he was publicly disarmed and a public display of his defeat was made when Jesus hung on the cross and when he rose from the grave. He's been defeated. And if he's been defeated, all these spiritual things, these wickedness, powers, principalities, fear's been defeated, lust has been defeated, pride's been defeated, control's been defeated, resentment's been defeated, anger's been defeated, on and on and on. It's been defeated. But you see, that's why he says in these verses three different times. One in verse 11, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Verse 13, therefore take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist the devil, resist, and having done everything, stand firm. Verse 14, stand firm. He doesn't say go out and charge. He says simply stand firm because it's already yours. The ground's already been taken by the fact what Jesus has done. And as he tries to attack as a thief, he says, you stand firm in the victory Christ has already accomplished for you. Interesting thing, because you, when you think about that, the confidence of knowing this one who's a thief. Now, what does a thief do? It says in John 10, he's come to kill. You can't kill unless there's existing life. He's come to steal. You can't steal what doesn't already belong to somebody. He's come to destroy. You can't destroy something unless it's already there by the very nature of the language. And so as a thief, I've already got victory in Christ. The ground's already been won. It already belongs to Jesus. I stand firm and fight from a place of victory, not for victory. From ground that's been taken already. That makes all the difference in the world to take up your sword and to take up your shield. I've been set free from fear. I've been set free from anger. I've been set free from discouragement. I've been set free from hurt feelings and criticalness and judgmentalism. I've been set free. I'm going to stand firm. That makes all the difference in the world in that shield of faith. Faith in what? That you're already defeated. That's a powerful word to me. He's trying to move you off what already is yours. He's trying to move you off of the ground called victory. It's already ours in Christ. So I just encourage you, and of course you got to go in your own prayer life with this kind of stuff. That's the belt of truth. That will make you ready for battle. Then you can do battle with all the other parts of the armor because you're standing in a place that says you're a trespasser. Trespassers walk on territory that already belongs to somebody else. I already have victory over fear. He has defeated you. And you stand firm in the strength of his might and the truth that he's already won. And every time you do that by faith, what happens? That victory is once again enforced into your experience. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.